This is Wade Brathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on depressing reports on the state of union organizing. Just by the luck of the draw, in a 48-hour period, I happen to have a chance at some State of the Union shop talk with three former high-ranking union officials with deep backgrounds in organizing, as well as a younger former organizer whose current work forces him to try to find the pulse of union organizing around the country from the rank and file forward. Spoiler alert, it was really depressing, especially in these times that cry for a revival of a workers' movement demanding change. Let's have some good news first. There's been progress in organizing adjunct professors, graduate students, and other university employees by several unions. These kinds of workers may not be the heartbeat of the labor movement in some people's estimation, but more pink and white-collar workers in unions is always good news for the future and a hope that more trickles down. The shifting emphasis by unions like the service employees towards airport-based workers and subcontractors is achieving some successes, especially along Atlantic coast cities. A unit here and there of hospital workers breaking through to win elections on the West Coast still holds hope as well. There were some hints that some workers' centers are migrating from service provision, job training, and referral to assisting migrant workers in organizing unions. And now for the rest of the news. The McDonald's initiative and much of the Fight for 15, which propelled some cities and states to raise their minimum wages, seems virtually all over but the shouting. The encouraging efforts supported by large unions and federations to develop what I have called majority union strategies among Walmart workers nationally and warehouse workers in the Imperial Valley of California have now seen their sport wither so substantially as their sponsors have pulled the plug that they are trying to subsist at some level almost like advocacy organizations hoping to score foundation and various philanthropic funding. In fact, several conversations veered dangerously into the grasping for straws area of how to shore up declining organizing prospects and membership dues support for worker organizing with private monies. A social media action network that seemed to be growing rapidly to support organizing and union work was trying to figure out how to appeal to foundations. Worker centers who were debating helping to organize unions shop by shop were asking for advice in mapping the borderline between their tax-exempt nonprofit status and the more direct work entailed in actually union organizing, which is not exempt. Several former officials speculated that membership figures of various unions were being propped up by creative accounting of associate members and various affiliations of worker associations in order to maintain the public claims of membership strengths, even as actual full-fledged dues payers were dropping precipitously. Such moves might be politically tactical and even defensible in a more expansive view of worker organization, similar to what I've advocated, especially in these trying times, but are certainly not strategic as organizing strategies and, needless to say, are not sustainable. Meanwhile, published reports indicate that a lawyer being vetted for a seat on the National Labor Relations Board is a certified and registered union buster, or persuader as they call themselves, currently involved in trying to take back recognition for over 20,000 home health care workers in Minnesota in the ongoing efforts to push back on the area of greatest organizing success for organized labor in the last generation of organizers. What's the old saying? If it weren't for bad news, there wouldn't be any news at all. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.